Oh, yeah. Now, this was my childhood, DeMarco. A little crisscross?
Oh, my, big time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Big time.
Absolutely.
I definitely had multiple Halloweens where I wore everything backwards.
And did you really?
Out. Oh, absolutely.
Are there pictures?
I have to text
Please
my mom.
Please bring these in.
If I have them, I would yeah. I'll absolutely show you. I 100% wore my pants backwards. The
I'm
belt,
not dissing.
The whole thing.
Of every style that came out.
Yeah.
Sagging pants, oversized clothes. The backwards look was kind of whack, dude.
It was, but at the time, yeah. At the time, it was amazing for me. I was like, well, let's see, what year
I'm
was
so
that?
Glad do you have I didn't it in catch front? On.
No, yeah. Oh no, well, it's, it
I'm
was
so
never going to get.
Yeah.
But you're also talking to a guy that I'm not afraid to admit this, DeMarco.
What?
When I was in college, the first year in college, I wore a visor backwards and upside down.
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah, Brian.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Who rocked that first? Who had that look?
I thought it was me. I thought
you?
I created.
No, somebody
I created
else had that.
That.
Yeah.
It was, no, it was me.
Yeah.
It was
Bergy.
Bergy. Yeah. Bergy created that.
Nice.
What year was Crisscross? It had to have been like.
I think it's 92.
Yeah. Early. Wow.
Why am I getting like breakdancing vibes from you?
Have you not seen me
oh,
dance?
We can move.
Can you breakdance?
Oh my God! Have you not seen the little
seen...
video that went
no.
kind of viral?
You can dance.
I'll send
yeah,
it to
man.
You right now. Hold I'm on.
I am
got
a
you.
Dancer.
I mean,
I can
your
dance.
Voice got deep.
Pero, pero,
oh no!
I'm
going to tell you. I'm going to tell you straight up. I can dance.
Really? You can dance?
Oh yeah. I don't do it often. I don't like to do it.
Wow.
And it
Hold
takes
up,
a few
minute.
Drinks to get me to Let get me to that point.
Wow.
But yeah. Yeah, I can dance.
See, you're better than I thought.
Yeah.
Nice.
I exceeded expectations. Is that what you're saying to me? I'm exceeding expectations?
Yes. 100%.
What a jerk. Did Kurt Warner text you back?
I just sent you the video too, by the way.
Did you? Okay, I'm waiting.
Yeah. Did
no?
Did,
I'm waiting.
If, what is this? If you're that close of friends, like you say you are,
look, he texts right back unless he's busy. And
well,
he's
that's
frequently
like everybody.
Busy. And he's got a bunch he's, of kids.
First
yeah.
of all, if you don't know what we're talking about, a couple yeah. segments ago we were talking about the Rams and the greatest show on turf, and DeMarco said that the Rams would be still be, win a
oh,
Super
man.
Bowl with Trent
texted,
Green as their quarterback.
I think I texted Isaac Bruce by mistake. Hold on.
yeah. Look at you. These are a little like he's just dropping. Like
see?
You can pick that up now.
We
you
got a group
something.
Chat. I think
Name
I texted
drop.
The wrong guy. My bad. Anyway, go ahead.
What does yeah. Isaac Bruce say? Because there's no way Isaac Bruce is going to say that it would be better with Trent Green.
100% he'll back me
then
up.
Then why didn't he get
Everybody
another?
Knows.
Did he get another job
Everybody
after that?
Everybody knows that.
Did Trent Green get another job?
No. I mean, look, he blew out his
was
knee.
Was that with KC?
Rodney Harrison blew out his knee. It changed him for life. He had a good run in Kansas City
yeah.
after he left us.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were
a
playoff
run.
Team. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
but before
but
he
know,
got
man.
Hurt in that offense, we would have been better with him. Yeah.
You're saying better though. Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer.
That year in 99, what you saw out of that offense, it was record-breaking, record-setting. That was about half of it. That was half the offense because
half
that was
it?
The backup quarterback. Kurt was the backup.
Why have we never heard this before or talked about this? Why have I never heard you say this
I don't
before?
Know, but everybody knows this.
Stop. Everybody?
Most people know this, yes.
Most people. Laura, did you know that they'd be better with Trent Green than...
No.
Brian, did you know that they'd be better with Trent Green than Kurt Warner?
First time I've heard this.
You guys don't know the story?
No,
oh, no.
First
okay.
time.
Yeah. Parker Bell in the back. Did you know that the Rams would have been better with Trent Green than Kurt Warner?
Better on
no,
offense.
I gotta,
he
shaking it. DeAndre back there. No, he's shaking his head.
Wow,
no.
This is so
is
crazy.
Graham back there? Is Graham back
Graham
there?
Graham is somewhere.
No, he's not
you
back
know,
there
somebody
anymore.
Told me this. The longer we go, it's going to boil down to like four guys when you talk about the greatest show on turf.
Yeah, you're saying everybody.
Okay, no.
Okay, tell me the story.
Kurt was the backup. He was our yes. number two guy. So in training camp, Trent got all the reps. So Trent was running the full playbook. Kurt was running the backup role. So when we put him in, we only put in half the playbook. Vermeil had to coach him along. We were going to run the football with Marshall until Kurt was ready. Kurt was ready before anybody thought he would be. That's why
right.
there's the movie and the MVP run and the Hall of Fame. But still, that offense with Trent Green would have been better because he would have ran the entire playbook. The Kurt Warner you saw 2 years after that Super Bowl, that was the entire playbook. That was why he and Marshall were trading MVPs back and forth. But that would have been Trent had Rodney Harrison not blew out his knee.
He was I guess I just don't realize that he was that good. I mean, it
oh
was a long
God.
Time ago. But
I think he was 36 of 38 in preseason that year.
I mean, preseason. What
no, no,
talking
but
about?
36 of 38.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Oh, my God. And the two were dropped.
Was he that good of a quarterback?
Yes.
And I'm just not remembering him correctly?
We built the offense for him. We went and got him to run that offense.
So you're saying in that Super Bowl that Kurt Warner was running half of the playbook?
I mean, that's
the greatest show on turf.
That Super Bowl was in January, so that's an entire season. So
sure.
Yeah, now the offense is clicking. We would have been like that from day one with Trent.
Okay, but so the greatest show on turf would have been much better with Trent Green. It's crazy to me.
Better on offense, yes.
Absolutely mind-boggling.
Why? He was the starter.
I understand, but I just know what Kurt Warner is and what he became and what he did over his
career. I'm not taking anything away from Kurt, but at the time, Kurt was the backup. He wasn't getting the reps with the offense. Trent was.
I get it.
So same guys, Isaac Bruce in the Hall of Fame, Orlando Pace, Marshall Faulk, everything is the same with a quarterback that's running, Torrey Holt, with a quarterback that's running the entire playbook. You can call anything.
So he had as good of an arm, a better arm.
Oh, yeah.
A better arm.
Well, I mean, better.
Okay. That's wild to me. But, I mean, obviously, you were there.
I thought everyone knew that story.
No, I think Trent Green gets lost in that conversation often.
He was the first guy that Kurt mentioned in his Hall of Fame speech was Trent Green.
The only reason I remember Trent Green, to be honest with you, is because he tore his leg up.
Really?
That's the only reason I even think about Trent Green.
And that's the sad part
about... And to get Kurt Warner in.
That's the sad... When I look at that ring, it's all joy. But the sad part is Trent. Because that could have been, it should have been him. That's why I just forgave Rodney Harrison like 3 years ago.
No, yeah, because he hit him. Yeah.
Yeah, it was preseason. You didn't have to do that.
No, you did not have to. And it was destroyed.
And you derailed what could have been Trent's run.
Sure. Yeah. Still won a Super Bowl.
No doubt. Absolutely. And he had a good run in KC. It's football. It happens. But, yeah, I thought everyone knew that story.
No, that is not a story that
I'm not trying to break news.
No, it's not breaking news. I just thought of him as the guy that hurt his leg to get Kurt Warner into the game. That's it.
Oh, no. No, no. Kind of like Brady and Bledsoe. But if Bledsoe doesn't get hurt, you don't have the dynasty, but...
Yes, but I also don't think that Bledsoe was anywhere near the quarterback that Tom Brady was.
Oh, Bledsoe was that guy before he got hurt.
Didn't win a Super Bowl.
No, no.
But he would not have won a Super Bowl.
You don't think they'd win a Super Bowl?
No, I don't.
See?
I think certain guys... Look, you
obviously know
football.
I'm starting to question all of your sports knowledge right now.
Why? Because
In this 10 minutes, you ruined the whole show. Yeah, this is bad.
Look, you obviously played football and know it much better than I do. I'm not trying to argue that.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen, and what I know of Tom Brady and what I know of Kurt Warner, those two dudes are some of the best of all time.
I know. It's amazing. It's amazing how... And someone said this. I think it might have been Howie Long that told me this. He said, as the years go by, it'll boil down to four or five guys.
Yep.
And you're telling me that it's true when you think that...
That's how it goes.
When I say that Trent might have been better than Kurt that year, it's like you can't hear it.
I believe you, and I see what you're saying. I'd have to go back and watch film and watch all of that to like really pay attention to it. I'm telling you what I see. Oh, did you get text? Did Kurt Warner get back to you?
Look,
Isaac Bruce?
See, I'm having trouble technically. This could be Torrey Holt. Hold on.
You texted all of them.
Go ahead.
No, no. Wow. I do want to get into your TMZ story. I think that's more important thing to get
into. Oh, for Michelle. Yeah. I took one for Michelle.
All right, so explain what happened with...
Now? Yeah. Do we have time for this?
Yeah, we're fine.
Did everyone hear like... No.
So explain what you were talking about with Michelle say what this is all about.
It was in the Super Bowl that was in Dallas. Remember that? And they had the snowstorm and Dallas was not prepared for that snow. So I'm a Californian. I had no idea what you do with snow until I got to St. Louis. You drop salt that melts the snow and you drive through it. Dallas was dropping sand. Now, me being on the West, being a West Coaster, I know this is bad. This is not going to happen. So the whole city was shut down. So it was me, Michelle, and
Michelle Smallman from Unsportsmanlike.
We were searching for Kurt Menefee's birthday party down in Dallas.
Okay.
We thought we had the right address. We drove around this thing. It looked like it was abandoned. So this is the address. Let's go check it out. So I pull in. I'm driving a rental car. And I see a parking spot. So I throw the car in the parking spot as fast as possible. Michelle, in the snow, we weren't prepared for snow. She had on a skirt and high heels. Now, mind you, there is at least 3 inches of snow and ice on the ground. I'm trying to be a gentleman. Let me park you as close as I can and walk you in.
Sure.
So our producer goes in. Michelle goes in behind the producer. And then I'm stuck outside. And I hear this voice. Hey, move your car. Okay. Who are you? I'm the valet. I said, I've already parked it. Here's the keys. Here's $50. I've done your job for you. No, move your blanking car, like to my face.
The valet saying this
to
you?
Yes. Now I'm standing on ice. My knees are sore and I'm mad. Right?
I don't want to see you mad.
Exactly. Right? So he says it again, like he gets closer. I said, move your blanking car. So I go from DEFCON 5 to one and start going back at the dude. Right when I start yelling, all these cameras pop out. Next thing you know, I'm on TMZ.
And it's all Michelle Smallman's fault.
It's all Michelle Smallman's fault. Yes, I'm trying to be nice and trying to help her out. All her fault. Mm.
Yes. Can you look that up, Laura? Can you look at the TMZ, and find the TMZ?
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. I got to call. My mom called me, then my pastor.
Your pastor.
And then Coach Vermeil called me.
Oh, that's bad.
I really want to know what Coach Vermeil said to you.
We can't have this, DeFar. We cannot have this. You're better than this. I mean, he really read me the riot act. I felt bad. I was horrible. It was horrible. The whole experience was terrible.
Were you that kind of guy back then where you just got angry? I can't see you as an angry guy.
No, he just hit all the right buttons at the right moment. Yeah. Right. I mean, look, I gave the guy $50 and you're still cussing me out? Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
Big time. Yeah.
You also can't talk to anybody like that. You don't talk to valets like that, and valets don't talk to you like that. That's
little skinny dude. Little skinny dude.
And especially when you're trying to help a female go into and not slip on ice.
And I'm telling them this. I'm trying to help her in. Yeah. I'm just trying to make sure she gets in.
Here's the title of the article.
Oh, no.
TMZ
no.
captures ex-Ram DeMarco Farr cursing at parking valet.
Now, mind you, you got it good. Now, look, it's not a persona. I just did not cuss at all. Like, that's, like, not even in my character. But the guy caught me at the right moment. Like the dude in the movie with the phone that he just snapped. I did your job. I'm handing you money. I'm trying to be nice, and you're cussing at me? And I'm standing on ice? Come on, bro.
You don't go. It's cussing at you. That's what drives me the craziest. I've only been fired from one job in my life.
Yeah.
I was fired from BJ's restaurant in Westlake.
Oh, no way.
That's the only place I've ever been.
I love the pizookie.
Yeah. Great pizookie.
Delicious. Delicious pizookie. Yeah. Absolutely. I can't eat it anymore. I had too many of them. But someone kept cursing at me over and over. It was another employee. Just kept calling me an a-hole over and over and over again. I was like, stop calling me an a-hole. Stop calling me an a-hole. And eventually it got to the point where I was like, call me an a-hole one more time.
Right.
And he says, oh, come on, man. You're just being an a-hole. And I grabbed him by his shirt, lifted him up, and put him up against the wall and was like screaming at him.
Okay, now that's bad. You can't touch people.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I got fired.
You should have been fired.
I did. It was during zero tolerance, but he called me an a-hole over and over again. I kept telling him to stop. At that point, I went from DEFCON 5 to DEFCON 1.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was in the same exact situation.
I didn't touch the guy. I just went like, you know, Sergeant Hartman from Full Metal Jacket. Yeah, oh, yeah, I went off. I had fun. I had some stuff. Oh, my God.
Is that video? Is there, if I go on the break?
No, there's just pictures.
None? Okay, good, good. You don't want to hear it. Your image of me will change. Yeah, I just an endless stream of obscenities.
You're like a puppy dog.
That's what he thought. I swear to God. See, he knows. Brian, you know this, right? Because we look like nice guys.
Right, yeah. Right.
People think they can like take liberties.
You guys are nice guys.
Yeah. See, that's but we're not nice guys.
No. Okay.
We're just polite.
People think I'm nice, exactly. And I say I'm the nicest person until you bleep with me, and then you don't want to.
Exactly,
me.
Laura.
Yeah.
I love you, but.
I am very
You can get DEFCON 5 faster than anybody else in this room.
No, actually, it's not. It's just because, I tell people all the time, I'm loud. So naturally, I'm a very loud person, and people interpret that as, oh, she just got hot. But it's like, no, that's just, you should see my mama. Like, sometimes I'm like, Mom, why are you mad? She's like, that's how I talk. And that's just me. But me being mad? Oh,
you come from a big family, right?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of them. Yeah.
All right, we still got a lot more to talk about here, including a little bit more on Shohei Ohtani. I really want to get into the Rams offseason with you
Kurt
and like
responded.
That's more important.
Oh,
we're not going to break
it. Do you want me to come on? Ooh, do I really want this?
You want to do it?
All right. Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to feel so bad. This is going to make me look just absolutely terrible.
All right.
Kurt Warner next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm not going to be a player right now because I think
why
you got
no.
you were giggling with excitement in the break.
This
Marco.
Is funny. No, I love this.
Like legitimately giggling because Kurt Warner got back to you and calling in to make me look stupid.
No,
I think he's on the phone.
That's my guy. He's not calling in to make you look stupid.
Oh no, he's going to make
we
me
just
look
got
very
receipts.
Very silly.
So
yes.
Ask him the question. Go
All
ahead.
Right. So no, he's not on just
he's
yet.
Not on
but
yet?
When, he,
okay.
when he's on, we're going to ask him. So, but basically, if you didn't hear before, we had a whole conversation about how good the greatest show on turf would have been without.
Oh,
he's there now?
Yeah.
So let's bring on Kurt Warner.
Kurt, what's up, man?
What's going on, Kurt?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Not chilling. Just on the radio with Greg. Berg, he's corporate Greg normally. He's the program director here. So he's on the air, so he's Bergie today. So he's being relaxed.
Yes.
And he's got sports opinions.
So,
and go
ahead. Sound like he's too relaxed.
No, I'm not relaxed right now because DeMarco has been giggling in the break. He's so excited that you're coming on. Because
you were so strong with your opinion.
Well, it's not even strong. In my mind, so Kurt, just so you're aware, I'm 40 years old. From what I remember from the greatest show on turf was that you were amazing, and this was one of the best teams I've ever seen on a football field. And DeMarco said to me that...
That's all true, by the way.
Very true.
For all out there.
Now, wait, here's the part, but go ahead.
DeMarco said, oh, yeah, if Trent Green would have been the quarterback, we would have been better. At that moment. And I said, there's no way.
Ouch.
No, Kurt.
Wow.
No.
Whose side do I go on?
Because Trent was the starter coming out of training camp.
Trent was awesome.
See?
And not only was he the starter in training camp, he was awesome through training camp. Through their first three games, I think he missed three passes that year. You know, Trent was a great quarterback. You know, it's ironic that, you know, when I gave my Hall of Fame speech, I only named one of my teammates by name. And there were a lot of great teammates. DeMarco, Marshall, Isaac. I mean, I played with so many great ones over the years. But I only mentioned one personally, and it was Trent Green. And it was for two reasons. First, to what DeMarco was saying is that guy came in and he was playing so well and had such a great command of the offense that he's the one that gave us the belief that we could be good. I mean, this was a team that was 4-12 the year before, a team that was about ready to, you know, have a coup and throw Dick Vermeil out. You add him to the mix, and all of a sudden we start believing we've got a chance. And then on top of that, again, to DeMarco's point of where he was compared to where I was, obviously everybody knows my background, but just his knowledge of the offense and my ability to lean on him, to watch him, to ask him questions, to glean whatever I could about this offense from him, went so far in helping me to be able to have success that first year and grow into what we were doing and kind of be an extension of what he was. And so, you know, I mentioned him because I always felt he was the forgotten piece of that team that was so special, because without him, I don't know what we would have been. Obviously, we had a great collection of talent. We would have been good. But what he did when he came in that offseason, what he brought to that team was unbelievable. And, you know, as DeMarco was pointing out, you can't overstate that if you were a part of the team. Nobody from the outside knows that, right? All they saw was me jump in and play really, really well. You don't understand the piece that he was and what he did to bring that unit together and to give us this idea that, oh, my gosh, this team that was 4-12 has a chance to compete, has a chance to do great things, and that offense was built around the quarterback. And so it all started with what Trent did, you know, coming into training camp, but just as importantly, what he did in those first three preseason games, where we were literally unstoppable in those first three preseason games, and guys are going, oh, my gosh. That's probably part of the reason why everybody was in tears when he got hurt and I had to take over, because they're like, oh, my gosh. This guy's special. This guy's got a chance to do something special, and now we're going to be missing that piece.
It's just wild. That's exactly what DeMarco said to me. Like, exact word for word. And, like, what I was saying, I'm 40.
Looking at the guys in the back. They all doubted. They were all on your side.
In my mind.
I said
mind,
I would text Kurt, and he's going to say exactly what I said. And what did he just say?
He said exactly what you said.
You know, Kurt? I'm surprised that people don't know that story. And I'm thinking, wait, that might be something that just us guys know, that we're on that football team know.
I think that's what it is, because in my mind, and incorrectly, very much incorrectly, what I think of when I think of Trent Green is that he got hurt and Kurt Warner came in and became a Hall of Fame quarterback.
All that's true. Yeah.
Where would have Trent Green would have gone if he didn't get hurt? Like, what would have been his trajectory?
Right. Well, I mean, all you got to do is look at his time in Kansas City. I mean, he took that group, and maybe it wasn't the greatest show on turf, but they were really good and really explosive and a high-scoring team there in Kansas City. And that was, you know, to me, this was after the injury, you know, a couple years after, you know, he ends up sitting, you know, because I take over as a starter. And then he goes and plugs into another offense and tears it up and is a Pro Bowl player there. And so, you know, to me, you know, I think people, again, they miss it because, unfortunately, Kansas City never, you know, got to the big dance and never got to play in that moment. But because, you know, he kind of disappeared and went into the background and everybody forgot about him, you know, when I took over. And I think that's the other interesting thing about Trent is Trent had an interesting story too, where he was out of the league for a year. And I think he was teaching for a year and then he got back in. So he had kind of a, for lack of a better term, I'll say a Kurt Warner story where he was fighting, he was out, he came back in, he earned the right to be the franchise guy for the Rams, signed his big deal, and this was going to be his moment to show Berge and everybody else who he was and how good he was as a quarterback. Then, boom, he gets hurt in his third game. And so we missed, I think, a lot of what Trent could be and what Trent was because of the way the scenario played out. And I'm glad that everybody got a glimpse of who he was in Kansas City. But with that unit in St. Louis, you know, he would have been awesome.
Thank you, Kurt. See, look, this you're the author of two of the biggest moments of my life, the Super Bowl and shutting Greg up. And this entire room. No, I'm serious.
Man.
This entire room has just shut up, and I love it. Thank you so much for coming on and clearing this up. Hey, while I got you, are you doing a study bowl on Kansas City?
I already did, yeah.
So you already did?
It's on my YouTube page, Kansas City. I did everything except the overtime drive. That'll be on NFL Plus for a piece that I do there. But every other pass play in the first, you know, throughout the game into overtime, I've already broken down. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Well, I would love to hear your call on the touchdown, on the overtime touchdown. Did you know it was coming?
I had an inkling that they might do something similar. It was similar to what they did on fourth down when they put it in Pat's hands and gave him a few different options on what to do. And they love to do that down there too because Patrick's so good using his feet and you know, being able to make plays and think fast in those moments. So I wasn't surprised that they ran a play similar to that. You know, but just a masterful drive by him there in overtime to get the win.
Are you impressed by him? I mean, you played the best, you've beaten the best, you are one of the best. Are you where does Mahomes rank in your eyes from what you're seeing?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I'm going to put him number two right now because you know Tom was special and what he accomplished. But I said on our show this past Sunday that I do believe he will be considered the best when it's all said and done.
Wow.
If he gets anywhere close to the accomplishments because of what all he can do as a player. And, you know, the amazing thing is we fall in love with the playmaking, and rightfully so because he is a special playmaker. But what I've said since day one is his ability to see and creatively, you know, see pictures from inside the pocket and the development of what's going on and how it ties into their play concepts is a very rare, unique gift. I think there's only been a handful of guys that I've seen in my career that have that gift. You know, a lot of guys can draw a play on a board and they can execute it extremely well. Like Tom Brady, execute that extremely well. He can see it. He can understand what's going on. And then there's certain guys that can see beyond what's on the board and what you talk about as a coach going, well, I see that, but if the defense does this, then maybe I could do this over here. And if they do that, then maybe there's an opportunity. And he sees that kind of stuff where it wouldn't surprise me if he was throwing to guys in games that they never talked about him throwing it to on the board or when they went through practice, because he's got that kind of mind. And that, to me, is what separates him. I've always believed that to be great, you've got to be great inside the pocket. And then you can add all the extra pieces on top of it. And Patrick is great inside the pocket, even though I don't know if, you know, if you interviewed people, they would understand and know that. I think they might just say, well, yeah, collectively he's the best because he's so talented and blah, blah, blah. But they wouldn't understand what he does on schedule, on time, recognizing hot situations and all of that creativity that I talk about. And that's why I believe with that and the athleticism and the talent and the giftedness he has as a player, I think one day he will overtake, Tom Brady as the best we've ever seen, because he's got all the pieces.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy. And I totally
unreal.
Agree.
Yeah, yeah, man. Thank you, Kurt.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you,
it.
Kurt. Thank yeah. you for shutting
you
me up just
talk
a little
to you,
bit.
Brother. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Kurt.
My man.
All right. You win. You win, DeMarco. You brought a Hall of Famer on to tell me I'm wrong, so you win.
That was fun. Can we do it again?
You love doing
Checkmate.
This to me. All right, so see, you did something wrong here, DeMarco.
What did I do wrong?
You brought on a Hall of Famer in day one. We still have two more days to do this. What are you going to do?
I got six more Hall of Fame teammates. Okay. I got six more. Come on. Yeah.
You got to have somebody else. You got to up it every single day. We can't
just
stop
to
there.
Put your foot in your mouth.
I mean, I do that. Oh, damn. Don't worry. I can do that all the time. So coming up next, I want to talk about a little bit of Shohei Ohtani and how he is going to acclimate himself with the Dodgers. And you have some teammates past that you think fit into that kind of the same realm as Ohtani. I also think that I saw email scammers. They are being very, very creative, DeMarco.
Big time.
I'm going to put your geography to the test.
Oh, boy.
Just a little bit because of it. All right, that's coming up next. Mason Ireland, DeMarco Farr, Greg Bergman, ESPN 710. There you go. So,
love her.
DeMarco, how mad do you think Mason and Ireland are going to be at me when they get back?
For what?
We have had a guest. We have taken phone calls.
Oh!
These are all the things that I tell them they cannot have.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. Oh, they're going to be really mad.
Especially when they know who the guest is.
Oh,
too.
Oh my God.
And then when it's Kurt Warner.
Oh, my God.
How mad? Laura, what do you think Ireland's reaction is going to be?
I didn't think about this, and now they're going to be like, oh, Laura, oh, damn.
Do as I do, not as I say. Do as I say, not as I do, yeah.
Do I get the hell, or do you get the hell? Because
I can
you're
put
the
it
producer.
On you.
But you're the producer today.
Yeah.
And
But see, here's the thing.
No, it's all going to be on you.
No, it's all on me. Oh, yeah. I know.
But I love calls. They know this. They know I love. Like, I love calls. Like, I'm always like, more calls
Mace
better.
Mace is going to light you up.
Mace is going to destroy me.
He's going to light you up. Oh, this is going to be
fun. And I'm here for it.
Oh, my God.
I've already gotten in trouble for talking about them and guests, so I'm not going to do that again.
Oh, my God.
It's on the show, though. Is that okay? No, I'm not going to do it again. But either way. All right, so what do you want to do here? Do you want to do the Shohei Ohtani thing, or do you want to learn about geography?
Why can't we do both? But the Shohei thing, unbelievable.
Okay, first of all, Shohei has been, and Laura, you can kind of explain
good
this because this was your thing. But first of all, Shohei Ohtani hitting bombs was one of the most majestic things
how
I have
big
ever
is he?
Seen.
How,
he's monstrous.
Have you met him? Have you been in the same room with Ohtani? Anybody?
I wish.
Never seen him.
Actually,
you know who has? Parker.
Yeah,
Parker
think he
Bell
left.
Has been around him at Dodger Fest.
Yeah.
Let me look up. What are his measurements? Do you know?
Isn't he like
a giant?
6'2"?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think he's taller than that.
He's got to be. I mean, he looks like a giant in the batting cage. He really does. Maybe that's the difference. You said
he's
about
6'4".
He looks huge.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the difference. You said he's going to have to come out of his shell to become a Dodger because the Dodgers are everywhere.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. So initially when we thought he was going to be a Dodger, potentially be a Dodger, I was very kind of shooketh because everything we've seen from him is I don't want to talk to people. I want to be left alone and blah, 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 right, with the Angels. So I'm like, bro, you need to step it up. The Dodgers are everywhere. They're global.
Yeah.
You know, so you need to be able to talk to the reporters and kind of show face, right? If you're going to be a Dodger, you got to play the part. You're in L.A. And I didn't know if he was going to be able to do that based on his history with his previous team. But at Dodger Fest, at, you know, when he was introduced, like just different things, he is a 180 from who he was as an Angel. I mean, granted, Angel, right? To who
maybe
he is
that's
as a Dodger.
It. Yeah, maybe. I mean, you don't want to show your entire personality to a team that can't bring you to the world.
That's true.
So I'll save it for this moment.
So it's all Los Angeles, but that's the difference between Los Angeles and Los Angeles of Anaheim.
Correct.
It's two totally. It's true.
No,
it's
correct.
Two
yeah.
totally separate yeah. things. Since he's been here, Laura's right. All of those things he's been doing. When he got his MVP speech, it was all in English. He barely spoke English when he was with the Angels.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is for, but he's changing his attitude
maybe
on a lot of things.
Maybe he knew I'm not going to be here long term.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, I guarantee he knew he wasn't going to be there.
So why show that side of you?
No.
And waste it there. I'll wait till I get here to do it.
There's a story about Shohei and Freddie Freeman at the WBC, and that I guess Shohei and Freddie were talking, and Freddie told him his son or daughter's name, and when they met each other again just a few weeks ago, he asked about his daughter by name. Remembered that by name at that point. He knew he was going to be a Dodger for this whole time.
I love it.
See, that's smart. Like they were talking about Tiger. You knew when Tiger was a teenager, he's going to be something special. Mm-hmm. I bet people knew about Ohtani a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Hey, save it. Save it. We're not going to be here long. Play your game. Have fun. But when we get here, when you get to the Dodgers, show everyone exactly who you are. And I think that might be what you're seeing.
So he's doing it the right way. And we were talking before the show, and you actually had teammates that did and did not do it the right way, right?
What, ingratiate themselves?
Ingratiate themselves,
yeah. Oh, yeah, it's always weird. I mean, when there's a new guy that comes in, I mean, you got guys that are looking at you like, who is this guy? Or, you know, are you coming to be the savior? And then, you know.
Like a superstar. Is there a superstar that came in and was like, oh, I'm doing it the right way? And ones that were like, oh, jeez, who is this dude?
So, I mean, like you just heard from Kurt. I mean, Trent was brought in to do a job. But when we got Marshall, that was a different deal. When we traded for Marshall Faulk,
from the Colts, right?
From the Colts. I mean, we'd played against him. He had lit us up like 2 years earlier. I mean, it was funny. The Colts fan booed him when they announced him. Like, he was on the outs with the fan base. And then he put 200 yards rushing on us. It was ridiculous. And then they cheered him on the way out. And then we got him. So when Marshall walked in, he's a quiet guy anyway. So he didn't really try to ingratiate himself. He just kind of let it happen normally. And during the breaks, what we did, some guys shot baskets, some guys played pool, some guys had fun, you know, gambling. Marshall, without missing a beat, just walked in and participated.
In all those things.
In all those things. Just participated. Became one of the guys just like that. He didn't try to change anything. He didn't say we were wrong. He just joined in, and he became one of us just like that. Now, we've had guys that did it the exact wrong way. Walk in and change things. Oh, we're not doing this anymore.
This is how I do things.
This is how winning teams behave. Because usually when you get superstars like that, it's because you're not very good and you're trying to get help. So these guys come in thinking they need to change everything about your culture. And that's the wrong way to do it.
What was the record when Marshall came in?
We were 4-12, like Kurt said.
Okay, it was the same year.
Yeah, we were bad.
That was his first year?
That was his first year, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was synergy. So we had it. But we had guys that come in. The guys that come in trying to change stuff. That's bad. The guys that come in and just kind of ingratiate themselves and you're just one of the guys naturally, those are the guys that stick. Those are the guys that get the best out of the teammates and themselves in a new situation.
I think that's with anything, right? Like if you come into a new job and you come in, we're changing absolutely everything. Everyone's going to hate you and you're not going to get the job done. You're going to lose.
Right. You know, it's funny. My wife does this. I know it sounds bad, but every time she walks into the room, she changes something. She opens the window, she closes the window. She turns the lights on, turns the lights off. Like, why can't you just come in and sit down?
Well, you know, maybe it's hot, maybe it's cold.
No.
Maybe
it's dark. Women are busybodies, though. We, like, because I do that. When I go into my apartment or whatever, or my mom's place, now that I don't live there, I, like, arrange stuff, and I'm like,
why?
Oh. Because I know she needs help.
But just come in and sit down. Everybody's happy.
I'm a busybody.
We're watching TV. We got popcorn. We got a movie going.
My feet are up.
Turn the light on. Turn the light off.
See, you guys can do that. Like, as men, I feel like you guys
can shut down.
Yes.
Completely.
Women are always like, hey, what's next? What's next? What do we got to do? What do we got to do? Like, something. Yeah.
See, I said, when my wife walks through the door, I should just hand her a drink.
You should.
Yeah. Here.
Do that.
You should.
take this, relax, sit down.
When you come in tomorrow, you should hand me a drink.
No, I'm not doing that. No. The gin and juice, maybe. Yeah, no. Okay.
Yeah, if we can get that, all in.
Absolutely. Okay.
Just not on camera. All right, coming up next, Game of Games time. And Laura, it's your game, right?
It is my game. All right. It's easy.
It's easy. Why is it easy?
I just think it's really easy.
Okay, who's going to win?
I think DeMarco kind of has y'all. But you might be a sneaky surprise.
Ooh, always a sneaky surprise. All right, that's coming up next. DeMarco Farr, Greg Bergman, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, no Mace today. It's Game of Games time. Laura's game and Andy Kamenetsky. What's going on, AK?
How you doing, Echo. Bergman? How you doing, DeMarco?
Chilling, brah.
So the
I called Kurt Warner and made him feel stupid.
I heard that.
Oh, so funny. Oh my God,
look,
so funny.
If you're going to get shut down by someone, a Hall of Famer is the right guy to get shut down
Stung
by.
Stung him. It was fun.
You really didn't know that Trent Green was that good of a quarterback.
Look, I'm shocked, didn't. Right? I didn't at all. Yeah. I know him as a guy that got hurt to bring in Kurt Warner.
I will admit, the part that DeMarco brought up, the idea of only using half the playbook and how good they could have been with Trent Green, I hadn't necessarily thought about it that way.
Sure.
But I knew he was a really good quarterback.
You know what else? Most people don't know Vermeil called those plays for like the first 8 weeks.
Yeah,
it wasn't
don't know that.
It was Vermeil protecting Kurt.
Yeah.
And then we figured out we don't have to.
Perfect.
And then he took off. Yeah.
All right, we got to get to Game of Games. Laura, your game, it's going to be DeMarco, Andy, myself, and Brian. Yep. So what do you got?
All right, so this is an easy game, and I really thought DeMarco or you, Greg, were going to take it. But sorry, Andy's definitely going to take it. 90s hip-hop.
Oh,
okay, 90s hip-hop, super easy, multiple choice. There is three.
I'm bad with names.
Are you?
Yeah.
There's three. Okay. Name is your buzzer.
But name is your buzzer?
So it's name?
No, it's multiple choice, and I have three name is your buzzer.
Got it.
Okay. Got it.
So here's the first one. Who was known as the queen of hip-hop soul in the 90s? Is it Lauryn Hill or Mary J. Blige? And we'll start with DeMarco.
Lauryn Hill, yeah.
Okay. Andy?
Mary J. Blige.
Greg?
Mary J. Blige.
And Brian?
Lauryn Hill.
It is Mary J. Blige.
Yeah,
she was the queen of hip-hop?
Yeah.
Hip-hop and soul.
Absolutely. I knew that one. I'm with you, Andy.
Lauryn Hill rap.
It's the and soul.
Soul.
I missed the soul part. Okay,
yeah. Okay. All right, number two. What was the debut single of Notorious B.I.G. released in 1994? Is it A, Big Papa, or B, Juicy? And we'll go with Brian first.
Let's go Juicy.
Okay, Greg?
Big Papa.
Okay, Andy?
I think it is Big Papa.
And DeMarco.
Juicy.
It is Juicy.
Ooh, okay. We got a tie game. One to one.
That's the one that made your eyebrow go up.
Juicy's the better one. Yeah. Juicy's the better of the two.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Which rapper's real name is Christopher Rios and was known for his deep voice and complex rhymes?
Hmm.
Is it A, Big Pun, or B, Fat Joe?
Who's up?
Who's first?
We'll go with Brian.
Big Pun.
Okay, Greg.
Fat Joe.
Andy.
Big Pun.
And then DeMarco.
Big Pun, you nasty. I don't care. It's Big Pun.
It is Big Pun.
I missed that one.
I don't care.
All right. Who won the Grammy Award for Best Rap Album in 1999? Is it Lauryn Hill, Nas, or Jay-Z? And we're going to start with Andy this time.
Lauryn Hill.
Nas. Lauryn Hill.
Okay, DeMarco.
I think it was Lauryn Hill.
And Greg.
I'll stay with Lauryn Hill.
And Brian.
Let's go with the crowd. Lauryn Hill.
All right. Yes. Maybe I should do Andy last, actually.
Because that follow-up album was bad.
All right. Which female rapper released the album Hardcore? Was it Queen Latifah, Foxy Brown, or Lil' Kim? DeMarco, you go first.
Lil' Kim.
Okay, Greg.
Lil' Kim.
Brian.
Lil' Kim.
And Andy.
Released the album and lived it.
Absolutely lived it.
I told you guys, maybe this is
cheesy. It's a good game. Keep going.
Okay.
How many are left?
I have a bunch.
Okay.
What was the title of Dr. Dre's debut solo album? Was it The Chronic or Straight Outta Compton? And we'll go with DeMarco.
Chronic. Dr. Dre's album.
Yeah.
Chronic.
Okay. Greg.
Yeah. Chronic.
Brian.
The Chronic.
And Andy.
Chronic.
See, this is way too easy.
Well, that one was easy, but other ones.
Maybe I should have done that. Name is your buzzer.
All right, DeMarco 5, Andy 5, Brian 5, Greg 4. So I'm one back.
All right, who was the lead vocalist for the hip hop group The Fugees? Was it Wyclef Jean or Lauryn Hill? Brian.
Wyclef.
All right, Greg.
So they were both in The Fugees, but Lauryn Hill was the bigger of the voices. Lauryn Hill.
Okay, and then DeMarco.
Vocalist.
Yeah.
Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
And Andy.
Lauryn Hill.
It is Lauryn Hill. Sorry, yeah. Brian.
Did you go to Lauryn Hill's wiki to like do this quiz?
No, I
there's
not.
An awful lot of Lauryn Hill.
Wyclef
ran the group. 90s,
oh yeah,
okay.
But she was the vocalist.
I love Wyclef.
Oh my god,
I listened to a lot of Wyclef.
All right,
back
next
in the
day. One. What was the debut single of Snoop Dogg's album when it was released in 1983? Was it "What's My Name," "Gin and Juice," or "Who Am I"? "What's My Name." We'll go with Greg first.
"What's My Name."
Okay, we'll go to Margo.
"What's My Name."
Brian.
"What's My Name."
And Andy.
"They're All Correct."
You know what? I'm done.
That was a great
no,
summer.
No. We
Wasn't
still,
that a
we
great
still
summer?
Time. We still
yeah.
have time.
Too that easy. Was a great summer.
All right, so DeMarco 7, Andy 7, Greg 6, Brian 6. Let's do this. Just do three more.
All right. Which female rapper was known for her socially conscious lyrics? Is it Foxy Brown, Missy Elliott, or Erykah Badu? And we're going to start with DeMarco first.
Badu.
Okay, Greg.
Badu.
And Brian.
Erykah Badu.
And Andy.
It's not Foxy Brown. Erykah Badu.
It is.
You
it
better
is,
call Tyrone.
All right, here's another one.
I mean, we're going to have to go against. Do you have a tiebreaker just in case?
I will find one.
Okay.
What was the title of A Tribe Called Quest's final studio album? Is it The Low End Theory, Beats, Rhymes, and Life, or The Love Movement? And I'm going to start with Brian this time.
Let's just start with one of DeMarco or Annie because they're up.
The
yeah,
last leading. Studio album.
Okay, we'll go with DeMarco first.
The last studio album? What was the last name?
The
last title of the album that you said.
The Love Movement.
I'll go with The Love Movement.
Okay, and then Andy.
The Love Movement.
And then Greg.
Love Movement.
And Brian.
Love Movement.
All right, well.
Well, no, you do one more because Brian and I have to go different.
Okay. Oh, these are super easy, though.
So we were right.
You never know, though. This one could be a legitimate question.
It's okay
never
if
know
everybody gets it right. It's okay if everybody gets them right.
Okay. What was the title of Nas' debut studio album? Was it Illmatic, It Was Still Written, or Stillmatic? And we're going to go with Andy first.
Illmatic.
And then DeMarco.
Illmatic.
Greg?
It is Illmatic. I know it. I've listened to that album many times, but I'll just say Stillmatic the next one.
And then... Brian.
I'll go Stillmatic too.
Yeah, I wasn't. You guys know.
All right, so DeMarco and Andy are tied, so they need a tiebreaker.
Oh, we got a tiebreaker. Okay. Yeah.
So I need to make one right now.
Oh, boy.
Because
okay.
I didn't have one. I didn't think you guys were going to do this good.
I mean, we can just give them both a point if that's okay, if you want to do it that way.
I mean, we can, or I can just find one.
First song I played was that Fuji song, Strumming My Pain, when I bought the stereo system in the house.
One time.
Oh, my God. I blasted that. Broke a window.
Since we did do a lot of Fugees,
yeah,
how many records did their album sell?
Which one?
Album?
The Miseducated?
Oh, sorry.
No, that's her solo. That's
I said Fugees. So
the score?
Let me type in.
This is going really well for you, Laura.
I know. I'm sorry. I thought I had. Okay, yeah. So
whoa,
the
whoa,
score.
Wow.
Clinton.
The
yikes.
Score.
Wow.
The score. Just write a number.
Just 100?
Just you two.
So just write down?
Just give me a number. So just.
Go ahead. You go first then.
11 million copies.
Okay,
I'll go more than him.
No, you have to give me a number.
11
I can't
million
go more
one.
Or less
just
than
him?
Just
say 11 million and
one. $1.
11 million
you won,
and one.
You won. It was 22 million.
All right, DeMarco gets the win. Congratulations,
sorry,
DeMarco.
That was my bad for not having the tiebreaker.
Is Sedano there? If he has, let's go to Sue. Woo, 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 woo. That's what Mace does. So I just feel like that's something I have
Greg,
to do.
Greg in the big chair.
Yes,
four
sir.
People in this room.
Big time.
The Sedano the on the Comrex. Is that happening? Or yeah, what,
I think he's supposed to be. We're
waiting.
We got
right
a lot
now, yeah.
going on here.
Yeah, yeah,
AK, we got Clinton.
What's going on? By the way, for
folks.
Those of you who aren't watching on the YouTube feed, AK is wearing a t-shirt that is a deep cut on a level that only
Genco?
The sophisticated mind, Greg, obviously does not know. I can tell by the way Marco's looking that he doesn't know off the rip either.
Oh, I know what that is.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, my God.
Appreciate it. That is a
yeah.
tremendous t-shirt for those of you who are not
Sleeps
Godfather
with the fishes.
Fans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Come on now.
Get it together.
I love it.
Papa had Genco and I had this.
I love it.
You
know, I love it.
It?
I love
you didn't
it.
Say
wow.
What
Genco
Godfather.
Genco Olive Oil. Yes. It was the olive
okay.
oil company
okay.
that was
yes.
in front.
I know the movie.
For the Corleone.
Papa had Genco. Look what I got.
That's what I was saying. Exactly.
Apparently, real fast, Laura, you have a confession to make?
I do. So I forgot it was my game.
Okay.
And I went to ChatGPT to make
You made a ChatGPT game?
That is the smartest possible move to save time
made a game.
In this situation. Like,
that's why I didn't have a tiebreaker.
I don't hate that.
Wow. So make tiebreaker. Say ChatGPT. Make
that.
Me a tiebreaker.
I was like, you know what?
How did those go? I wasn't listening, but I heard 90s hip hop. Who?
I
mean, you obviously won.
I think
I had to when you walked in.
I was gonna,
I can't lose. Me.
I would have voted you as the silver medalist.
I was going to say, obviously won. We went to a tiebreaker.
Let's put it this way. Yeah. There were two questions missed. I missed one and Brian missed one. That's it.
Yeah, it was a good, it was an easy game. I thought it was easy, but you know, and found I said, make it hard.
Found your target audience. That's good.
So we got pickleball coming up and Clinton and I are partners.
Yeah, we got to figure out our team.
We don't have a team name yet. And AK is with BK. Do you have your name yet?
We are currently leaning towards YouTube component, but we have,
I mean, that's a lot.
I mean,
shut
that's,
it down.
That's pretty
shut
straight.
It down.
I like
there's
that a lot.
No there better name.
There we go.
There's, no
there's our team name.
I mean, when something gets a random scream at the Mandy's,
yeah, that's
you know
true.
What I'm saying?
Wow. There's a YouTube component.
Up,
that's true.
That's the way
right, we're YouTube components.
You know?
Official. Right.
YouTube component.
I've made the executive decision.
We will let the people that need to know.
So what we'll do, Greg, is I can workshop it over the course of the day and see what the COT says.
Sure.
And we'll obviously just reject all ideas and then pick something else. So that's
exactly.
Probably
but I need,
what we'll do. No, I'm kidding.
We need an answer by tonight or tomorrow
COB
morning.
Tomorrow. Wow. COB tonight?
COB tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you
Have
think
you guys
you can
played
get
together
there?
Yet?
Yeah, we played yesterday. Yeah. I mean, last year. After. So here's what happened last year. I played with an instructor who, by the way, taught me more about pickleball in an hour than I will ever know in my life. He was also very intensely into pickleball. That's
no way.
Discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
Sedano's in the house.
I know, exactly.
What's up,
okay,
Sedano?
See, so George is walking in. He's like, why are so many people in the studio?
Let Sedano come in
there
because this is my fault that this happened.
Okay.
I will take complete blame for the fact that they have a three-man weave. Well,
I mean, I can leave. I don't need to leave.
I'd like
to be here.
Everybody do it. It's
like
100% my fault.
You give
fault,
a guy one day in the big chair and he blows off all his other responsibilities.
I'll tell the story. I even talked to Sedano this morning and he said, who am I working with today? I said, Clinton Yates.
Right, and I got the text. I got the text from Sedano.
Makes my life easier.
We had exchanged some ideas about what we're going to do on the show. I'll walk in.
Totally my fault.
Jenko's
I got a text from Lindsay asking if I could come in. I don't keep track of the schedule.
So Lindsay has been off for a couple of days. She is not feeling well. Mm. And so I was trying to do her a solid and get Clinton Yates onto the show with Sedano.
Well, because the schedule that I saw had TBD
had
on
TBD.
It.
Yeah, so well, I just went ahead and did it and did not tell her that I did that.
Gotcha. Right.
So she went ahead and did... booked her show as she's supposed to and got AK. Now they have a three-man weave and it's a better show.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
More the merrier.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. No doubt.
Less work for Sedano.
So, Sedano, we've got to come up with a pickleball name, Greg and I.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're playing together?
Team. Yes.
Okay.
Because so what I was getting at was last year, after I got that tremendous instruction from that pickleball guy who was like, is that... Do we know if that guy's going to be there again?
Ara,
this year?
Yeah, he's absolutely.
That dude, he's running.
He is a monster.
What's his name?
Ara.
Forgotten his name. Pardon me, but he was. I mean, that guy. You cut his arm open, boom, pickle juice comes out.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
He was cool, and I learned a lot from him. And so afterwards, Greg and I played. I believe we handled.
We did handle.
You and who were you playing
Sedano,
with?
Sedano. Oh, Cap.
Cap. Well, me and Cap.
Cap. Yes.
We were like 12 matches in at that point.
I mean, so are we, by the way.
I played a bunch with that guy, and he was really good. The first two guys that we played were really ticked off. They're like, really? We got Yates and some actual pickleball dude?
Yeah. Well, I remember that. You were playing with,
you know what I'm saying? And like the two guys we played were mad. So Greg and I decided this year, hey, why don't we team up? So we need a team name.
Nice.
Yeah, we need team
probably
now.
Probably Blue Review related. Probably makes
Blue
the most
review.
Sense.
Sure,
okay.
we can go outside the box too.
I'm a pun guy, or you know, something close to it. We'll see.
Nice.
Yeah, you can figure something out. DeMarco, you're playing with the buddy
so this
of
is
yours.
On
buddy
me,
of
mine. That's what you're
yeah,
at.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
It's on me. Is
no,
what you're
no. We were. I asked.
Well,
you
you're definitely more creative than
well,
he is.
Okay.
I'm
no,
not
so,
creative at all. So.
We're being honest. Greg, you're just taking them all day.
No, it's fine. Did you hear what happened earlier? Kurt Warner completely shut me down.
Oh, that was funny.
Out
what?
Of nowhere.
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't hear Kurt Warner with you, but I heard you like questioning Trent Green, and I'm like, yeah, Trent Green was a badass.
I
thought everyone knew that story. Did you know the story?
Which
about
story?
That Trent Green was supposed to be the quarterback until he got hurt.
Well, I knew he was supposed to be.
The question was if Trent Green didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
What
you still
happened?
Win the Super Bowl.
On, we would have been
on.
Better.
Hold on. Yeah. You don't know that?
No,
see?
I knew that he was
thank
going
you.
To be okay. But
Trent Green
I
was a 10 times better player than Kurt Warner was going into that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Like see, people... I did not think that way. I think
Kurt Warner was bagging groceries.
Yeah, I know. No, but the way I think of Trent Green is the guy that got hurt to let Kurt Warner play.
This was
become
not
a Hall of Famer.
This was not a Wally Pipp situation.
He was really good.
He was
Trent Green was
good.
And even after the injury, he was really good.
Yeah, Trent Green we like.
It's a bad day for you.
I mean, that, yeah. Okay, honestly, though, it was a good day
for me. So what
happened?
So Warner came on.
Warner came on, called me Bergie, so that was cool. I got that. And then told me how wrong I was and how right DeMarco was.
Kurt said exactly what I told him.
Yeah.
Like word for word.
It was
the same thing.
Word.
Yeah, he took his word. Yeah, he didn't take mine, though. Fun, though. Yeah, yeah.
But now,
by the way, I can't wait to get you on the pickleball court.
Oh, I can't wait for that matchup.
Because you keep beating me, and it's driving me nuts. Yes.
Sorry. Trudell's better than all of us, though.
Oh, my God. He's an athlete.
By the way,
Trudell is so much better than
he
all of us.
He also takes everything very seriously.
Yeah, like,
dude.
So
I didn't know that.
He got better from the time we played against him to the time I played against
him. He's better
him
now?
Last weekend.
Oh, my God.
Doing cage sessions? How are you tracking this progress?
He smoked me the second time.
Wait a minute. You guys played and didn't call me.
Well, we should have called you. It was very last minute. He texted me that morning.
Okay.
And I went.
Because I need the court. I got to practice with my guy.
Yeah, they played in Manhattan Beach. So we went down. I went down there.
Let's do 2-on-2.
Okay.
Me and my partner. Yeah. Good. Okay, there we go.
Who is your partner?
His name is James. You don't know him.
You're bringing a side guy to the tournament?
You're bringing a ringer in?
Hey, do what you got.
What are we doing here? Wow.
He's the only one. He is the only one with a partner that's not from the station.
No, I need some vetting. I need to know.
Is he
doesn't have a pickleball background.
His last name is not Blake, is it?
No. Yeah. He doesn't have a pickleball background, but he's super competitive.
Does he speak English?
Like, oh, yeah. He speaks English. What do you call those? Dragon boats? You ever seen the dragon boats?
Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
So he's like a mail order pickleball partner?
He is a serious competitor.
Bloodsport over here.
He's the guy I picked. Absolutely, we're going to win. Yes.
By the way, Trudell is playing with
Dave McMiniman.
Their name is McThompson and Trudell.
Yeah,
McThompson
and pretty good.
Trudell.
Right, because it used to be Thompson and Trudell.
Homage to the
Michael.
Yes, fair enough.
Yeah. And by the way, Hooper's X says for you, Andy, that the Cam Brothers team name should obviously be the Sickos Who Like to Watch.
Wow.
For the YouTube component.
No, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
The
YouTube should be YouTube component.
Yeah, that's what we said. Yeah. We established
it's officially
that.
Called YouTube,
YouTube
component.
Component is the only way to go with that. So how many are in the field? Is it the same? It's the same amount.
The station field is larger, I feel like.
Okay. Yeah, so there's two different fields. There's the fans and everybody else that are going to come out to play, and then we're going to play with them also. Then we are going to have a 7-10 bracket so that we play against each other as well.
That makes much more sense.
Yeah.
Right, instead of us getting smoked by people who are playing really well.
Yeah, so we'll play against each other so we can have a champion from the 7-10 bracket.
Is it going to be like the NCAA tournament where you're one and done, or is it going to be like those tournaments at Atlantis where you're playing 5th and 6th round games?
Satellite tournaments?
Just because you're already there. You know how those tournaments go?
I don't know.
You might have lost the first two games, but you still got three more to go.
Is it one and done?
It'll be one and done in there.
I feel like there should be some sort of
So we're playing 2 out of 3 sets, though.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 sets, and it's one and done. I don't know. It may only be 2 sets total, though.
Survive.
It's up to Aram Asserinly and Nazatel.
But you know how those tournaments go. It's like, well, you flew all the way here, so you're going to play the games kind of thing.
I feel like it's towards the end.
The station bracket is smaller, so it should be 2 of 3 sets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the big bracket has a lot more people.
A lot more people, yeah.
Yeah, because you remember the Agape Pickleball Center, so there was a lot over, there was a bunch of courts
huge,
and then there was another side that was just that one big court. That will be where the 7-10 bracket is.
Nice.
That one big court.
Right.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, okay.
When is it again?
Just to make sure. 23rd of March.
March 23rd.
Let your boy Dragon Boat, Steamboat, whatever that guy is.
Dragon Boat, yes.
Yeah, March 23rd. Willie the Dragon Steamboat is what
we'll
I was trying
ready.
To say.
We'll be ready.
It's Steve Mason's birthday and also the anniversary of Mason Ireland for 20 years on ESPN.
Wow, no doubt. Wow.
How about that?
Unbelievable.
Not so bad.
How about
all right, Sedano. DeMarco says that the Lakers are better without LeBron.
No, I said. I just asked a question.
What was the question?
I said, what if? What if it's true? What if they are better with LeBron? Off the floor. What if that were true? That's what I said.
If it were true, then that would be an indictment on LeBron. But I think that here's what I think. I think at 39 years old,
and even if it were true, you'd never know anyway.
Right. But I think at 39 years old, I think that there is a way this team plays with him that works better in the postseason than it would in the regular season.
Oh yeah.
Because things slow down. The game is a slightly more half court. Every possession matters more. And we kind of saw, and I know they don't like to reference this, but we saw a glimpse of that during the in-season tournament, right? Where these are guys that know how to protect the ball, know how to play possession to possession. In the regular season, like, there's no game planning. There's none of that stuff. Like, and I think that sometimes he's 39, right? So it's like he's not putting the effort on defense that you would want on a nightly basis. But I think come playoff time where you're playing, you know, you get a couple days off or even every other day, like you're in a much better position with someone like him at this stage. So I don't think they're better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe for a stretch in the regular season they could be. But, you know, there's a lot of, like, okay, I'm trying to think.
I love how you threw me under the bus.
I never said that,
but go ahead.
Yeah. You know, that's like saying the Phoenix Suns because, you know, Kevin Durant doesn't want to run up and down the floor. I'm just using it as an example, not that I know it to be true, but I'm using, like, Kevin Durant as the example. So, Kevin, don't tweet me because this is just a made-up example.
name drop. There's big Sedano name drop.
Don't tweet me,
you're
going to
hear from a burner.
Don't tweet me, bro.
Kevin Durant follows me. Don't worry about it.
Bro. That was, so,
like, let's just say Durant was 39 and no longer, like, willing to play defense at the level he's playing now. Like, you'd have
I got your point. You'd have the same thing.
But
if
you're
Darvin Ham, right, and you found out, if you're coaching behind closed doors, just you and your team knows, man, this team might be better with LeBron off the floor. What if you discuss, but there's nothing you can do about it.
I think you're misunderstanding. Like, the idea that the Lakers are a better built for the playoff team, for a playoff team, is obvious. Not just because of what he's talking about in terms of in-game play, but common opponent. This is why you want somebody as smart as LeBron, is because he can adjust against the same opponent night after night better than it can work for them going against different teams night in and night out. It's been obvious to me ever since what happened last year that this team was built for that, and it was before.
And they're so matchup dependent.
Right, exactly. So you got to get there.
I 100%
agree. They're two different things, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I just said, what if it were true, though?
I just don't think it is.
What can you do about it if you're Darvin Ham?
So I think it's kind of funny. The team, one of the teams that went to the finals last year, Denver played the Heat.
Yeah.
And this year, the Heat have a winning record when Jimmy Butler is not playing in the game.
Sure.
But there's no way on God's green earth that you could convince me that the Heat are a better team without Jimmy Butler. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sometimes that's the way things
work. It is easy.
Okay, wait, they've got more wins with him.
Yeah, but again, when he doesn't play, they have a winning record.
The common opponent thing is what you've got to really take into consideration. When you're playing different teams every night, you're a different team than if you're playing the same team four times in a row.
It's because they have Imai Hawkins.
I'll take it a step closer in the West. Not this year because it's a complete disaster, but the two previous seasons, the Memphis Grizzlies were better when Ja Morant was not on the floor.
Right.
But there's no way you can convince me they're a better team in the playoffs without Ja Morant.
Then how do I convince you if you're getting more wins?
Because the regular season, and this isn't football where every game matters in a way.
Why does everybody do that?
Because it's the truth. The scarcity of the sport and the games changes the dynamics.
If you've got more wins with this group than you have with this group, then how can you say you're better with that guy?
Think of it as the opposite of what happens with the Dodgers. Series in and series out, going along the regular season, they're awesome.
Yeah.
You play one team for it all, and they can actually match up, and it actually matters. They're not the same team.
So you're talking about playoff basketball, playoff baseball, postseason,
same relievers over and over again.
Okay. There is a big difference between the level of play, the level of preparation, the level of intensity in a playoff game in Major League Baseball and in basketball than there is in the
NFL.
So
you're proving my point. There's no way you would ever know if this team was better without LeBron.
Right. No, I agree.
There's no way
that
you would ever get to find that out.
Even
if they show you that they're better without him, it still wouldn't happen.
But it's also a good thing. If they're better now, that means in a couple years when LeBron's gone, they have that same core that looks
very
good
valid
still.
Point.
Yeah,
very valid
let me tell you something. If this is the core they have and they don't add someone.
No, they have to add. They have to add.
You said same core.
Yeah.
So. Well,
yeah. Then they are maybe a play-in team.
No, you need to add another superstar. Absolutely.
Oklahoma City's not going away.
Nope.
Minnesota, not anytime soon, is going away. And they're really good.
Clippers.
Although, if I were the Lakers, I wouldn't mind facing one of those two in a playoff series.
Minnesota looks very fraudulent one seed. A la Utah a couple years ago.
Or even Denver when Carmelo left and they were the one seed.
True.
Wow.
So I think that. Yeah, I think that the West is only going to get better. Wemby, the Spurs are going to build something around Wemby.
Right,
they're basically using this year to say, which one of these young guys do we want to keep around Wemby? And then we'll go and use all this free agency money to bring in guys that make more sense, that are more veteran guys. So the West is only going to get harder. So, yes, you can't keep the same core. The Lakers need to trade those three picks in the offseason to either accumulate several players, acquire several players, or acquire one all-star caliber player that can be the bridge.
Who's the guy leaving Cleveland?
No, Donovan Mitchell. Andy,
who can be the bridge guy who can play with LeBron and then post LeBron.
Right, that's why I think Donovan Mitchell is an actual possibility to come here and not go to the Knicks.
Except the Knicks and Heat both want him too.
Well, of course, the Knicks, and he's from New York, and they have a ton of picks, way more than the Lakers do.
And they won't be the only ones.
But
there'll be another five teams lining up.
AD, by the way, was supposed to be that bridge guy, in case you forgot.
Well, he actually has become that.
Who's that?
AD.
He's the best player. He needs a running mate.
I get that. Yeah. I'm just saying that what we thought was going to be AD's going to take
longer.
Over this and take over
it
that.
It took longer.
A couple rings here, a couple rings there.
This is what was expected from AD quicker than now. Like, now he is the best player on this team.
Correct.
And it's not even close.
Correct.
And he's playing like a legit.
You were expecting that, what, 3 years ago or 2 years ago?
After the finals, after they won.
After the finals. I think, you know, I mean,
then he got hurt. And then he came in bad shape.
Right, and things were weird off the pandemic.
Disease of me.
The compact, you know, the compacted seasons after the pandemic. There was a lot of weird stuff. The Westbrook thing made it weird. Like, there was a lot of weird things.
They blew up the team when they really shouldn't have blown it up the way
that
they did.
The Lakers have really done, and I know LeBron was in on the Westbrook thing, but I feel like they were all in on the Westbrook thing.
Oh, they all
thing.
Were.
Yeah, you know? AD was
but
too.
They have done, outside of acquiring AD, they have done mostly a poor job of surrounding LeBron
100%.
With the type of players that normally have led to success with him.
100%. So you don't like this team that they have with
LeBron? It's fine, but I'm saying, like, think about the first team that Magic Johnson built with Michael Beasley and, like, Lance Stevenson, and we want a bunch of playmakers with LeBron. You have LeBron James!
Right.
What kind of playmakers do you need?
Like, they're trying to get the ball out of his hands. Like,
it
that was
ridiculous.
God, it was
a lot
awful.
Of musical chairs, sort of like what's going to happen during this break. There are five people in this room. We're going to have to figure this out quickly.
There's only going to be three.
No, no. It's gonna I know, but I'm saying, things have to move. People got to get places.
Quickly. Coming up next to Dono, AK, and the Big CY. Thanks a lot, DeMarco. I'll see you tomorrow, 7:10 ESPN. Yeah,